Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. We hope you're doing well. Paul and I are doing well. We are in our separate locations still. Our governor hasn't said it's okay to podcast yet. I don't know why. There are no podcast alerts. They seem to be talking about nurses and doctors and food takeout people and police officers and firemen, but you very rarely do they give any updates during the daily press conferences on comedians wanting to podcast. But we're taking it upon ourselves to be good citizens and stay put. There's definitely a sense now that the weather's nice and the sun is out and the temperatures are climbing and you can kind of smell summer coming in the not too far distant future, that it must be over, right? It must all be done. We did that. It's all behind us. But it's all an illusion. It's still out there. It's still hanging around. We still have people that we need to protect. So Paul and I are podcasting from our remote pod locations once more.
That's right. And I think there are so many podcasts in Los Angeles that they will actually make separate announcements for us eventually, I think.
You would think so.
They would have to.
I mean, it's kind of the whole world is becoming the AV section of school. Everybody I know, no matter what they do, everybody's learning how to hook their laptops up and get the right equipment, and people are doing their own lighting, and everybody's in show business now. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's right. Make sure, everybody, that this is coming into Mother's Day, and we're coming up to the launch date for my book. Now, the thing about the book is that it's available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and through my website and all those good places, and it launches officially next Tuesday on the 12th.
Wow, that's amazing.
But you can order it right now. You literally can take your phone and swipe to Amazon and get the book ordered and have it come to your house on the launch day, maybe a day or two after. But it's all up and ready to go. Bookstores are starting to open, and it will be available at Target and Walmart and all those good places. But if you want to just order it right now from your phone, you can do it. And it's the same as doing it right now as waiting for the launch date. If you need to get a Mother's Day present for your wife or your mom or whoever is involved in your motherly categories of your family, I would think a good thing to do is order the book, print it, print out the order thing, cut out the little book cover, stick it in a card. Done. How easy is that?
Right.
You don't even have to go to the store. Even they won't even let you go to the store. So you might as well print out a little thing of, and what a great thing for your mom to get a book saying you're doing great. Come on.
Yeah, that's
go for it.
That's the title of your book is more sincere and longer than most cards that men write to their moms anyway, right?
Yeah, and then you get the book and you write a little something in the jacket, sign it yourself. Come on. There you go.
So
go to tompapa.com and pick that bad boy up for your mom.
Yeah. Most men's cards just say, thanks, mom, anyway. So you're doing great. Happy Mother's Day, mom. That's great.
And other reasons to stay alive, very appropriate during the pandemic.
Right,
exactly. You're killing it.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it's... I never really understood the pre-order stuff, especially since, 2020 is all about clicking on things. So it's great that now there's no, hey, you know, because I saw somebody's like, my album's coming out next week. It's like, why are you even telling us? How about as soon as it's ready, you tell us, and then we'll all click on it. That's how it works.
Exactly. That's how the world works.
Nobody's writing anything on a calendar or anything. Nobody
knows
what day
get
it
with
is.
It. Yeah, right, exactly. Nothing makes sense anymore. So we have a big announcement here at on the podcast This is a big deal. We've been talking about some upcoming changes to the podcast for a while now, and now things have been put in motion, and it is all being implemented. We are putting the Come to Papa name to rest as the podcast. It will still be the SiriusXM show, which our good pals at SiriusXM, they still want those live shows that we do all the time, and you'll still be able to listen to those. But the podcast name is going to change. Now, this isn't going to mean anything for you, our loyal listeners.
Right.
The new podcast is going to be called Breaking Bread with Tom Papa. Because the bread thing, as you know from my baked show and from us talking all on this and the YouTube channel and everybody on social media, we figure breaking bread is what we always do. Let's unite all of these things into one thing and be able to talk about it and communicate it. And breaking bread, sitting down with guests and having a good time through the act of eating and celebrating is what we're all about.
Exactly.
So we want to open it up to our guests. We're going to start bringing on different people and all that good stuff, and I'll explain that in a second. But for you, just so you know, all of our loyal listeners, you don't have to do anything. The same feed, the same thing that comes up on your phone all the time and alerts you that because you're a subscriber to the podcast, it's all going to be the same. It's just going to have a different title. It's going to say Breaking Bread instead of Come to Papa. It'll still be delivered to you on Tuesdays the regular way. It'll still come through the same way. It'll just have different graphics, so you'll be able to update, and you'll be able to different graphics and things like that. And that's pretty much it. The cool part about the podcast is we're going to be doing more of it through our friends at All Things Comedy, and they are building a set for us that is going to be super cool and be able to actually sit down with our friends, and I'll bring my bread along and we'll explore what made things important to them in their lives as far as who fed them and what they make and just the true essence of breaking bread, sitting down with people and hosting. This show started off years ago as the very first part of Come to Papa was a sit-down interview show. For any of you who have been through the whole way with us, I used to interview Carl Reiner and Jerry Seinfeld and all of these great comedians, and that it started as a one-on-one interview show. And then it moved into the live version, and then it moved into Paul and I at the compound. And now we're kind of going back to the original thing of actually bringing in different people from around, not just comedy, but from the baking world, from the restaurant world, different people that celebrate food and drink and all of that good stuff, and writers and actors and whoever we really feel will enjoy the hosting experience, they're going to come, and we're going to actually have a cool set at All Things Comedy, and we will be, not only will you get this podcast every week the way that you normally do, there will also be a video component of it where you will see the same recording, but on our set, hopefully eating bread, drinking wine, enjoying some nice cheese, whatever it is that we have that week. We'll be able to see on our YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, especially so, since everyone enjoyed seeing you do the videos about the bread and us eating the bread and all that kind of stuff, it seems natural. And most people, for whatever reason, want to see video of a podcast. So here you go. And now
yeah,
we have
exactly.
A set, and we have food, and we've got some cool guests. And
and get to see our beautiful faces.
Yeah, exactly. So all good
so
things.
It'll be a very cool thing. It'll be very cool. We're very excited about it. And we will keep you posted through social media and all that other stuff. But like I said, you really don't have to do anything. As a listener, it's going to just come up as the different title starting next week. And it'll go from there. The video portion of it, I don't believe, will start for a little bit. The strange thing about starting a one-on-one interview kind of situation in right now is that We in California, like we said, like the podcast people haven't really been told, but the office buildings are being told, and it'll be probably a couple weeks before we're sitting one in a studio and out of our little hobbit holes and doing it. But that'll give us time to get the set up and running, and it's time to start rocking and rolling with it. And you know, we're going to have some great guests. We're going to have Joe Rogan on and Bill Burr, and we're going to have Tom Segura and Alonzo Bowden and Ali Wong, and probably bring Fortune on, and you know, all these great people. We're going to have a really very cool experience, but hopefully it'll sync up with the vaccine and we'll be able to all be out of our homes and do things together. And what will be more appropriate than that, than sitting down and breaking bread with all of our friends once we're allowed to do it?
Exactly. Everyone feels like you're getting too big for your kitchen, I think, is what the feedback is going to be. Tom finally got too big for his kitchen. That's what's happening. So many people want bread. So many people...
Yeah, exactly. When I'm noodling around and showing you how to make bagels, I can do that from my kitchen. This other stuff, we got to get out of our house. And it's been cool doing it from the home. It's been cool and be able to have Bella rock and roll through once in a while. But if we're going to start bringing guests, we got to head to the studio. So that's where we're going to go. And I think it should sync up pretty nicely with the way that our state is starting to open up and do business, which will be really great. Yeah. Now, the only thing we have to keep, in mind on our way to the studio, not only for during the pandemic days, but even after that, is we're going to have to be very vigilant with the murder hornets that are apparently coming to kill us all now. Have you heard about those?
I've seen, well, that's the thing. The hard part is if you don't get, especially since everybody's sitting at home, you know, clicking on stuff, if you don't get the announcement as soon as it happens, you've got some kind of altered state of it. So, you know, at first it was like, you know, killer hornets, and then... And then by the time you look at the picture, it's like got some superhero on it, and they've done a mashup of it. So what, right. What is the actual like full story? Are these real things, or what's going on?
They're real, and they're terrifying. We like to stay positive here on our podcast, but these are the scariest bugs I've ever seen. These are hornets that are about the size of your thumb.
Oh, wow.
They're gigantic. They're wasps that are like this. You know, normally if you see like a up close picture of a bee, mm-hmm. you're like, yeah, that thing looks pretty scary when you get when it's all blown up like that. Then you see, this hornet, they don't have to blow it up because it's so big. You can see its crazy eyes and scary hands and giant stinger. They say it's like being stung with like a metal rod. And they love killing bees.
Oh.
I misspoke the other day. I thought it was from China, but it's actually from Japan. These murder hornets are coming in from Japan.
Okay.
And they go... Their stinger's so strong it can go through a beekeeper's uniform, the beekeeper outfit. And they like to go in and kill bees. And this is what's really scary. I mean, if they sting you a couple times, you can die. That has happened. But the bigger thing is that they love to kill bees, and they're going to go after bees. And if they go into the beehive and they kill the queen, and they have these crazy like hands that look like shark fins, and they go in and they cut the bees' heads off. is the scariest, most evil bug we've ever seen. And they found some. Some have popped up in the United States of America. Came over from Japan. And they're here now. And already our bee population is going down. And now these killer hornets are coming. And everybody is afraid that they're going to go in and wipe out our bee population. And as anyone knows from looking at all of these vanishing bee stories over the last couple of years, that when that happens, it's really dire because you now have the key pollinator out of the system. So it's going to have real awful ramifications for food and wildlife. And it's going to, when the bees go, it ain't good. And already it was a mystery of why the bees were going. Now, to make matters worse, these hornets are coming after them. Now, so
I feel like this is an elaborate promotion for Bee Movie 2, Attack of the Hornets. Is this a real thing, or is this like I know Seinfeld is coming out with a new special. Is there a Bee Movie 2 that you haven't told me about that you've been working on under these quarantines?
If there was a hornet that came along, it would take every character in the Bee Movie and they would saw their heads off. It would be brutal. So, yeah. So these hornets, it's not good. Mother Nature is once again beating our ass. So another reason to stay in your house, whether if you really want to go to the beaches and go out into the woods and start living like we used to, when you go back out, the world's going to be a little different than the last time you saw it. It's going to be filled with murder hornets.
Well, what did you ever have like a, I mean, that's the whole thing about growing up on, you know, in the East Coast when there's only summer for like 2 months, is that you don't really realize all those things. You know, it's like you go outside and then you're like, you see your first bee or you see somebody get stung and then you're immediately like fearful of that, you know. Until you see another one again, you know, or the first time you see a snake or something, you know, it is a pretty intense fear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now imagine getting stung by one of these things. Forget it. You'll never go out of your house again.
Now, do you have a Tom Papa bee story of I feel like you had one of those stories that you got stung like 100 times because you played baseball with a bee's nest or something.
Well, I was allergic to bees. Oh. In my first book, I tell a story about how I was stung on the toe by a bee, and my father put me in the bathroom and put my foot in the sink to take the swelling down, and he went out and he came back in and saw me sitting on the thing, and his eyes popped out of his head, and he grabbed me and ran me to the car. I didn't know it, but I apparently was swelling up like a balloon.
Oh, wow.
And I was probably like 5 or 6. I had no idea I was allergic to bees. And they took me to the hospital and gave me shots and stuff. And because you blow up and then your throat swells up and then you can't breathe and then good night. So I had no idea what was going on. I just knew I got stung by a bee and it hurt like hell. And the next thing I know, I'm in a car being brought to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I got stung. So I had to, like, keep a kit with me, like a little shot kit. I forget what they call it. And then you'd have to use that if you got stung. But I was always really super paranoid about bees.
Yeah.
And I remember one time sitting outside with my friends eating pixie sticks. And that's just sugar in a straw.
Yeah.
And a bee came over and came to get me, and I had to run away. And then when I was in high school, I was playing football and I got stung by a bee in the middle of practice.
Oh my gosh.
And I had all my equipment on and everything, and it stung me, and I was like, and I hadn't been stung in 10 years, so I just kind of quietly waited during practice to see how I was doing, and nothing happened. So I had outgrown the allergy.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you ever allergic?
No, I mean, that's the whole thing is I got super paranoid. I think my mom has like a little allergy to, like, she got stung by a wasp once, and I saw that, and that really freaked me out. And I think I was playing outside, you know, I was in a little town, so I was playing outside for hours a day. I think I only got stung once, but I did have, right, like, every other like kid that I grew up that was just kind of like kicking around, you know, always, right, ended up like, you know, stepping on a bee's nest, and then you know, they're running through the woods and they get stung 80 times and can't, right, come out to play the next day or something like that. Yeah. But I do remember, I don't know how old I was. It was still really early when you have your birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese. And one of my buddies got stung by a wasp, like in the face, like on his forehead. Ow. And he looked like Sylvester Stallone at the end of Rocky. Like his entire entire face is swelled up. And you know, and there's no way he's missing the Chuck E. Cheese day. So he's still, like, even then, it was like, why don't you put some sunglasses on or something so you don't horrify the other kids? But, yeah, he was all swollen up, but he was a trooper. He's like, I can't miss Chuck E. Cheese, man. I got to have that pizza. I got to play those video games. So there's all these pictures of this kid looking like somebody beat him up in my birthday pictures. But, luckily I kind of dodged the bullet there, but most of my friends have, you know, because you have that, you know, it's when you're walking through somewhere or you're on a deck and then you find out there's a bee's nest underneath it. They just kind of pop up anywhere, like on the East Coast, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, my kids are always freaked out by bees because everyone's been stung by a bee, and then whenever they're by the pool, there's always a bee coming around. They all freak out. And they saw the news about this murder hornet the other night. I don't know if we'll see them outside ever again.
Yeah, that is like a classic thing. You know, how you have like the nice outside barbecue and everyone's having a blast. And all of a sudden, there's a bee sighting. And then there's just these shrill screams from some guys streaking through the the barbecue or something.
Yeah. These things, I mean, could you imagine if these become like, if they're rampant, these giant, I mean, they're, you never see like a bumblebee, like that giant bee, and everyone's like, oh, those don't bother you, those are harmless. But it would freak you out because it was this giant baseball-sized bee just coming across the lawn.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if that thing was mean.
Right, the yellow jacket, right? That was the one that you had to... There's
well, the yellow jacket's...
Was it different?
The yellow jacket's like a small little feisty guy. No, like the bumblebee, the big furry one that's, you know, the size of a quarter. Right. Like that thing. Or imagine a dragonfly, right? Dragonflies and bumblebees were both really big, and they'd freak you out when they came around, and everyone would always tell you, don't worry about that. That thing doesn't sting you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if the dragonfly was coming for you. Imagine if he had a real bad stinger and he was coming for you. That's what this hornet's like.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I don't, I get, like, if there's any mosquitoes around, I get bit by them. So I feel like that was kind of my, you know, because I got stung by or bitten by mosquitoes so much, the bees spared me because I looked like I've been used up or something. But
right,
do you have a lot by your pool? Do the bees still hang out by the pool at all, or no? Or
is that but there's been this weird phenomenon since I've lived out here, which is off and on for I don't know 12 years or whatever, longer than that, probably 15 years. And, you know, we had a pool in my old place. We have a pool here. There was always this weird thing where bees would, we always found bees on these hot days, like, dying around the pool. Like, they would be on the brick, or mm-hmm. they'd be at the on the patio, and they would always. It's not like they were coming in and drowning in the
right.
pool all the time, but they were always. There's always bees around, and they were always like walking or dying. It was like these weak bees, always in the area. And I don't think it's related to the pool. I think it was on the patio, too. I think it was just, you know, just being outdoors. And so everyone's been concerned about the bees disappearing, and it's been kind of this mystery. And just anecdotally, just watching what's been happening in our backyard for all this time in California, it's been like, what the hell's up with the bees? It looks like they're all committing suicide. It's like something's weird with the bees.
Now, have you,
and every once in a while, there'd be one that was, you know, strong enough to buzz you in the pool or uh-huh. sting one of the kids or something. But for the most part, they were just, they were kind of weak.
Oh, okay. So you haven't seen any, do you spend much time by the pool? Is that part of your regular day? Or is that a... like a luxury?
Not every day. I try and get out there when I can. If it's really warm outside, I'll try and jumping in a pool completely changes your whole day.
Right.
You can be cranky, even like whatever, if you're feeling good, but you're just like in work mode, you jump in a pool and come out. It's like, you know, something about submerging yourself in water. Same as like taking a cold shower or something like that.
Yeah.
It changes your whole head and changes your whole day. And so if I can get out there and jump in, it's just like, ah. It's kind of like a, rather than a cocktail hour, a jump in the pool is kind of a good thing. But it's weird. It's like when we first came out and we were, you know, from the East Coast, we were swimming like crazy, like all the time. And then the people that have grown up out here, they don't really use it as much. They get kind of used to it. And I was always like, we're not going to be one of those families that gets used to it. We're always going to be swimming. And now, you know, my kids will be like, nah, I'm not in the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a, you know, my dad like built a pool when I was a kid. Like they built even a solar heater, like out of, you know, I don't know, before the do-it-yourself stuff. And so my mom, everybody used the pool all the time, and I just never like it was one of those things where, you know, once you got in the pool and you got the chlorine on, then you had to change your clothes and all that kind of stuff. And like you said, it like kind of changed the whole day. And so I never really got into like swimming all that much. I think I took it for granted, but it was always a cool thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely is.
When we were
kids in New Jersey, 87.
So you needed like bath water, right?
Yeah. It's almost too warm right now.
Right.
It should be like 80. 84 is pretty perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
84. If it's down at 80, no one's even getting in. They think you might as well be ice fishing. But man, you know, it's really interesting to see with all of the with the weather getting nicer and warmer, and you can just see all the people protesting down at the beach, like thousands of people in Huntington Beach last weekend, and it's like we're so lucky that the weather was cold and rainy in the beginning of this pandemic, where people, as soon as it's nice out, they start losing their minds and they just want to get down to the beach and get outside and do stuff. It's like you wouldn't have gotten people to stay at home as easily if it had been nice weather this whole way, which easily could have been in California. It was unusual that it was cold and rainy.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of the extra burden of this whole thing in the beginning, is that we really didn't. It wasn't like nice enough to go outside. I was still using, that's the thing, I was using my heater like at night for the first couple of weeks. And then now, like, you have to use the air conditioning during the day because it's getting so hot. It's getting up to 90s. And, have you done the equal as terrifying of a name, but have you seen the red tide at night, Tom? At the beach.
I did. My daughter showed me someone surfing on it.
Oh, but you didn't go down. You didn't go to see it?
No.
Yeah.
You
could still go to see it. I could see somewhat, but I've been told it's going kind of a little bit south towards mm-hmm. San Diego, but I've got a an eye on it. I'm tracking it, so I'm gonna see. It's for those people who don't know, it's very strange because I think it's called red tide because during the day it kind of looks reddish, but it's like
yeah.
phytoplankton or something like that, some kind of reflection. So basically, like the moon at night kind of makes the waves look like they glow in the dark and like this bluish color.
Yeah, like they're fluorescent.
And so, you know, when the moon is full and you know, the waves are pretty good, it basically looks like you have glow in the dark waves, which is pretty awesome if you haven't seen any of the any of the videos. Yeah. So I was thinking about like taking a drive and you know, trying to get one of those places where it's close enough to see the water. But yeah,
that would be cool.
It's pretty cool. It's kind of like Northern Lights or something. I guess it's pretty rare. So
yeah, I don't think I'll go see it. I think that's on Instagram. It looked cool. There was a surfer and it was like,
well, it just looks like a filter or something. I saw that there's a bunch of dolphins like swimming through it and they were lighting up blue, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah. I don't think, I don't know if I'll be able to make the trip down there, though.
Are you staying sober enough at night to be able to drive? Is the question.
I'm worried about
this. Is apparently there's like a national intervention because usually Cinco de Mayo, everyone's talking about I can't wait to have a beer or something like that, and apparently everyone's been drinking for about 2 months, and they're just realizing how much they're drinking because they can see all the empty bottles in their recycling bins.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
How have you been? Are you dipping into your scotch collection or your wine cellar?
A little wine, a martini once in a while. I learned how to make a Negroni, which is a fun little summer drink, but nothing heavy, just like one, and then and not every night. It's kind of like I was realizing actually last night that no one was watching a movie or doing anything. Like when it first happened, it was such a weird occurrence. Everybody was cocktailing and streaming and watching movies and shows like crazy.
Right.
And it was, but now it's like, okay, you could do that for a little bit. And then it's like, you're not going to do that for the rest of your days. You know, you can't be sitting there watching tons of television every single day of your life or drinking every day of your life. So I think I can feel like just talking to friends and stuff, I can feel like it's kind of everybody's coming back down to normal. They got to kind of go back into a routine of this isn't quarantine. Like if it had lasted for a month, everyone would have done that and popped out. But now that it's going on, you got to kind of come up with some other things to do in your house. You stop watching everything, every show ever made, and maybe read a book and go to bed early.
No, I think it's denial, Tom. I think your friends are lying to you, is what I'm telling you. Because this did last a month, and everyone got into the routine of having 3 or 4 drinks a night, and now it's become mm-hmm. part of the you got to get drunk to talk on Zoom for 2 hours a night to family. So that's what everyone's
well
doing.
Yeah, if I was Zooming all the time, I would definitely be drunk.
So yeah, I think the initially everyone was just lying about how much they were going to work out, and it's become the drinking thing has become, oh, you can order, you can, you know, you can order drinks and they'll just come and put it in your trunk. Like those are the two,
yeah,
the two biggest things are the BevMo and Krispy Kreme. Those are the two longest lines.
They said that there's a friend of mine said you can order from bars. They'll bring you cocktails. So you can order a margarita and they just deliver one drink to your house.
Yeah, I'm doing like a fundraiser, you know, because those bar, you know, they had to close basically. So, you know, they're doing like fundraisers and the one place has like delivery. It's like a local brewery and they'll like deliver stuff. and they want to get right. the word out that they'll deliver booze. And I'm like, I think everybody already knows that.
Yeah.
And then in California, yeah. you have legalized marijuana also, and they're delivering. So I don't think people leave the house if it was possible. But
no, you start to feel like, yeah, I could do this for longer. I'm fine. If it wasn't for performing, if it wasn't for actually being on stage, it's kind of like a writer's life. You know, I'm doing all my writing and doing the radio show and just kind of like, yeah, I don't really need to go anywhere. You know, it's not like I got to go do all this other stuff. But if I was, it's just the going out and performing and doing stand up like that part. Being not a part of, having that part not be a part of your life is, that starts to feel weird for sure.
Yeah. Is there anything, cause you know, like we never planned on, you know, the whole thing about like not being on an airplane for even a week or two is probably something you never thought would happen. Now that you've been at home, is there anything that you don't have that you wish you had had, like more children or a massage chair? Or is there anything missing from the compound right now that Tom Papa needs?
I was thinking the only thing, like, I think in, I don't know if I really need it, but I was fantasizing about having a chair in my office where I could read. Like, I've got the couch, and that's okay, but like a nice leather man's chair with a good light behind it where you could sit in and read at night, that would be a cool thing. I mean, I could put one over there, like a smaller one. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't really have the room for it, but that would be, that's the only thing I was thinking that would be a cool thing to have. It seems like a man should have like a big leather chair that he reads and smokes his pipe in.
Yeah, you have like you have an office, but the office is mostly, aside from your desk, is I think designed to make it comfortable for the rest of your family to come in and bug you while you're working.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
A couch and a little chair and a
I kind of like it though. That's why I have jelly beans on my desk to lure them in. Nothing wrong with an interruption during writing.
Right. But I remember you had the TV put in and all these other aspirations.
Right, exactly. I know. I still have a TV on the wall, which is so stupid. It's not even connected to anything. I don't even know why I have it in there. I really should take it down. If I had something else cool to put up there, I would do it, but... Yeah, I just have a TV that's never been turned on, literally hanging on the wall. Makes no sense. There are those moments where you kind of like look around and you're like, why has this been here for 6 years?
Right.
Probably get rid of that.
Yeah, I never used
everybody. Well,
I've never used my kitchen at all, so that's what I'm just dusting off everything in there.
Yeah, very exciting. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to wrap this one up early because this is going to be the final CTP before we translate into the new format next week. Like we said, you don't have to do anything. You just you may have to just hit refresh and have the new name come up. But very exciting. We're glad you can come along for the ride as we expand and move into the next era. So we hope that the improvements and all you will enjoy and keep listening and all that stuff. Make sure you go to tompapa.com and get my book, like I said, for your
mom,
for yourself.
Order now.
Go to Paul Morrissey has a website.com. Look up all of Paul's stuff. Any tour dates that are being shifted and thrown around. Some things staying in place, other things changing. Always a fluid situation. That's it, everybody. Enjoy your life.